brothers and sisters. We're going into the joy book of the Bible. So, well, almost can't say that without just busting, you know. So thankful that we know that joy, unspeakable and full of glory. And so thankful that especially in this time in our world, our country, that we can rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Not that you would try to do any of that, because you couldn't. But to be like, as we'll talk about, that tea kettle on the stove, just can't but help sing and whistle as that warmth, that heat just hits it. And may the fiery Holy Spirit just set us off so sweetly as we come in. But tonight it is this sweet book of Philippians. And the word Philippians, some have asked it from time to time, well, it means lover of horses. But I really believe that there's a better interpretation of that. It means lovers of the race. Lovers of the race. And right there, that should really grab our attention, shouldn't it now? Lovers of the race. That this is a letter, and it must be a letter of some serious meaning. Because we know that by God's grace, serious Christians are serious about not just running the race, but winning the race. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And that truly is a mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But as we get into this, maybe what might be the most beautiful thing about this letter that maybe sets it apart so sweetly, besides many things, is it's a very different letter in the Word of God, and it's a very different letter that the Holy Spirit wrote through the Apostle Paul. As we've been studying many of the letters and epistles of Paul over the past years, isn't that sweet? Praise His name. We've come to find out, the Lord, the Spirit reveals, that Paul's letters overwhelmingly expound doctrine. Whether it's Galatians, where it's grace versus legality, or Ephesians, the purpose, the plan, the provision of God that is in His Son, of us in Christ. You get into Romans, and there, my goodness, you talk about the hub, about every doctrine there could be. Is expounded in that precious portion of Scripture. And so goes Colossians and Hebrews and Timothy and all of those. But this letter really takes all these doctrines, brothers and sisters, and applies these so sweetly to a life. And really, it's the production of Christ in us. It's this manifestation of the love of God in us, and it puts it in practice in us. And really what it is it's just the simplicity of just living Christ in me. Amen? When you really live for the Lord, when you really live by grace, you realize it's just Christ and Christ in me. That it's all there. It's always been there. Praise God, the moment I accepted Him as Savior. And thank you, Jesus, as we sung and as the sister prayed, that you've enlightened the eyes of our understanding to truly say, Lord, I believe. I believe in the grace of God. But this we're going to see is truly the beauty, and there is a beauty of living truth in love. You think about grace and how beautiful grace is. I was speaking with a sister earlier today, and you think about as they explain about graceful ones, whether it's a dancer or a skater or even a runner. The reason that it's so graceful is everything's in harmony. It all came together perfectly, like magic in a way. But that's the Spirit, praise the Lord. And He brings it into complete harmony. And that's why grace is so beautiful. It's the transformation. It's everything. It's the beauty of the Lord. It's His power. It's His might. It's that wonderful grace. And love in action in us, brothers and sisters, is the grace of God. And how wonderful it is to watch. And Philippians will bring this out because it will magnify the rest and the ease and the faith that is perfected in a life. And truly, as Peter came to surrender to the Lord, Lord, thou knowest. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, thou knowest. I express my heart to the Lord, but boy, by your Spirit, praise God, he really gets it done. But he knows the way I take, and he knows the breath that I take, and he knows my thought afar off. And it's so wonderful how he keeps us. And truly, as we're going to read, as we get into this, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. He's everything. Praise God, the Word built in our lives. This is who we are. Whether or not a Christian wants to admit that or not, that's who you are. Remember Galatians 2:20, it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, you want to go on into abundant life? Live by faith. Praise God. Let it happen. Let the believing of the Lord just take hold in your life. And we understand, as we've been rejoicing time and time again and week after week, faith which worketh by love. By God's grace, we see the love of God. Not my love for him, but his love for me. His love for you causes you to trust him and to believe him. And how sweetly the epitome of his love to so freely die upon that cross for an unworthy like you and me. Praise be to God. He loves you absolutely head over heels. And Brother Paul has come into this. And this is why no matter where he's at, and he's going to be in a prison as he's writing this, he's got joy. And he doesn't just have joy. He has joy unspeakable and full of glory. He is rejoicing because he knows that he is exactly where he needs to be. It took all of the things that he went through. It took all of the heartaches. It took all of the downsettings and uprisings to take him to the place where he said, Christ liveth in me. Praise God. Praise be to God. Now, maybe this sweet message of the Philippians is summed up so sweetly, possibly in the ending sentence of Philippians. And it says there, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Listen to that. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, many of us here, I know, grew up and always had heard that Star Wars, may the force be with you. And I remember how so many people would say, oh, that's so original. Well, let me tell you something. It's not original. And by God's grace, we're reading it right here about the force and the only force. May the grace of God be with you. That is the force. It's everything. People really ever understand that it's not my work. I am his workmanship. I'm his. Grace, favored, working, alive, and loving in us. But now as we begin this study, in that first verse, if you turn to that first chapter of Philippians, it says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you. He salutes them and he concludes it with grace and grace and grace. But in this, brothers and sisters, we see that it's Paul and Timothy. And I agree with many of the sweet pastors that have brought forth this study. And obviously I had such privilege, not because of a man, but privilege because of faith and love in dear Brother Hill. In bringing forth this passage many times, I do agree that we should begin in the book of Acts in the introduction leading up to Philippians. So let's all turn to Acts chapter 16. And let's read together how this church at Philippi began. And actually, I'd like to begin a little bit back further to get a better run, and maybe, as we say, a glory run of the miracles that happened So to bring this duo together, and I'm talking about Paul and Timothy together, to establish this church. And so go ahead and get over to the 15th chapter of Acts. And we're going to pick it up here. This is 7 years after Paul's first missionary journey, where he was led to witness and establish the churches. And he is quickened at this time by the Lord to go back again. And he is thinking that he's going to go back with Barnabas, because Barnabas went out on that first journey with him. But he's thinking about going back with him. He's led to revisit these same churches. And we'll pick it up here in the 15th chapter and in the 36th verse. And it says here that some days after Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." Now, isn't this interesting here? I love this. You know, most ministers today, they never want to go back to where they were. They want to go back somewhere here and somewhere there and somewhere there and somewhere different. See, Paul wanted this established in them. Paul, by the grace of God, was preaching the quality, not the quantity. The kingdom age is coming. We're in the church age. He's looking for a wife. And praise be to God. Every hair on my arm standing up thinking about that. Praise be to God that we know that this is the message. This is the gospel that was given to Paul. The goodly pearl. Amen. Those that will come out from among them and be ye separated and truly separate unto me. But here we go. In the 37th verse, "And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take them with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God." See, that's a good recommendation. Amen? You knew Paul was in good hands. He was in the grace of God. Hallelujah. And you can see it was going on, and you see that God continued that message in that sweet brother. "And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches," and going on to 16. "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were there at Lystra and Iconium." So think of these brethren here that gave good report of this brother Timothy. And Paul, again, people say, well, he happened upon Timothy. No, he didn't happen upon him. We're going to read that he was absolutely directed and guided, and God divinely had an appointment with this dear brother. And let's go back even a little bit further in this to see who these brethren were that were recommending Timothy here in 16:2. So let's go back to chapter 13 in Acts, and we'll pick it up in the 50th verse. And we're adjoining here in Paul. We're kind of going back, but you know, the Spirit's led me this way to think about this. So now we're back to Paul's first missionary journey. And he's here at Antioch. And we'll read from the 13th verse in the 50th, 13th chapter, 50th verse. "But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and chief men of the city, and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them out of their coasts." So he's cast out of Antioch. "But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium." See, Iconium's always a good place to go. It means yielding. Anytime you get to the place of yielding, let me tell you something, you're in a good place. You're in a wonderful place. You're in the exact place that the Lord wants you. See, you might be cast out. You might be despised. You might think, oh my goodness, Lord, what just happened? But praise be to God. There's something about the grace of God. It'll always, if you'll apprehend it, it'll take you to the place of yielding, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what the environment is. And look what yielding did. "And the disciples were filled with joy." They got thrown out, and yet they're filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Isn't that wonderful? I just get excited reading about that. But let's go on. 14:1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Now remember, here we go. This is this Iconium, these places where these brethren that would recommend Timothy. And this is how this all began. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, listen to that. The word of his grace. These were the brethren. These were the ones that could recommend and commend and give good report of one like a Timothy. They knew the word of his grace. Acts 20:32. It says that the grace of God will build you up and give you an inheritance also among all them that are sanctified, brothers and sisters. See, this is the bold speaking and testimony of grace that's who these brothers were. And there was a 7-year period of time. You think about the spiritual perfection in that 7 years from the first missionary journey to this time when Brother Paul is going out again. And this testimony of the Holy Ghost has built to bring forth this testimony that there is a brother there and his name is Timothy and he loves the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I just think how divine that God does these things. So, just as Paul was parting from Barnabas, and that had to be an ache in his heart. You know that. He loved that brother. That brother was full of the Holy Ghost. But the Lord, he parted them asunder. There was a contention there. We'd studied that before. But God divinely leads him to meet his new counterpart, Timothy. Brothers and sisters, know this. There's never an accident. There's never a coincidence. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Time and time again. You can profess this in your life. That you've seen things that have been very painful. You've experienced this. And experienced this with ones that you love greatly. Because those are the ones that are most painful when sometimes you're separated from them. God divinely puts his hand and says, that chapter's done. It's over. It's difficult. I've seen people try to hang on when God has truly said that time has passed. That season is done. Learn to move with the Lord. And Brother Paul was encouraged of the Lord and he went on. And as those brothers, they recommended him by the grace of God. Notice how that grace upon grace. As Brother Paul comes to testify, he said, oh, it wasn't anything of me. It was the grace of God that was with me. It was the grace of God that did all this in my life. It was the grace of God that allowed me to give up everything and follow after Jesus Christ. But everything that was gained to me, I counted all but dung, but for the excellency of the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He knew none of that stuff could compare. He knew it was always his privilege to go on with the Lord. He wasn't rejoicing in a sense in the things that he gave up. It was the things that God took him away from. The things that would have robbed his life. That would have robbed from his eternal inheritance. And yet the Lord in his love and his grace was so great. Said, son, I want you to have my best. And praise be to God that that heart responded. And this is that same testimony that's going out to us, brothers and sisters. So the Lord divided him from Barnabas. And you think about this. And then he joins him with this beloved Timothy. Barnabas is the son, the word means, the name Barnabas means the son of exhorting, which is the son of calling. So it was like there was a calling there, but it was the product of the calling. But he joins him with Timothy, which means honoring God. Think of how many people want to get caught up in a sense in the calling. Listen to this. I'm called to do this. I'm called to do that. I want to honor God. Amen? That's what you're called to honor God. So there was a better that was going on here. And I'm thankful to God that Brother Paul went freely and took that. Now let's go back to the 16th chapter of Acts. And we'll pick it up there in verse 4. So he's found Timothy, and here they're together. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep. They were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now you think of that. They didn't force their way into places, did they? They didn't say, well, you know what? We're going to go to preach it to every creature and everything. No, they listened to the Lord and the Lord said, you pass by that. That's not for you. Go on. It's important. Listen to these things for your life. Let the Holy Spirit take control. If you really want power. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia. But the Spirit suffered them not. So see, Paul, he really desired to go to this place, this Bithynia. But the Spirit said, no, we're not going to do that. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. So think about that again. He had a desire, and you know Paul had some good desires here. He had a lot of godly thought. He wanted to give out the word to these people. He was encouraged. But the Holy Spirit said, no. What do you think? You going to listen to God? You going to follow Paul as he followed Christ? Amen? By His grace we will. But here we go. And they, passing by Mysia, came to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately, see, now he knew the Holy Spirit was talking. There was no delay. I'm gone. Okay? Immediately. He was sitting on the camel. Come on, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to go. Just like Rebecca, right? Praise the Lord. All right. We endeavored to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us. See, there's the difference. Not something I thought, but the Lord had called us. For to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. There's another thing there. Praise the Lord. A straight course. There was no delay. To Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. And from thence to Philippi, which is in the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in the city abiding certain days. Now, again, you think about this. See, Paul did not choose at the beginning to go to Philippi. Paul's intention, brothers and sisters, was to go to a place called Bithynia. But we read again, the Lord did not want him there. And this is important. I do want to repeat this. I do want to emphasize the Holy Spirit to our hearts to go with God. To go with the Word of God. To not go by feeling. To not go by good feelings. Well, this is something that's good. Well, let me tell you something. Do you want the good, acceptable, or the perfect will of God in your life? Huh? How about all the perfect and complete will of God in your life? That's offered. It's the Word of God. He wants that. It's there for us. But it's going to be by His Word. Amen, it is. It's not going to be by man's thoughts. It's not going to be by feeling. It's going to be by faith in the Word of God. All right. So, the Spirit stops him. Paul doesn't go to Bithynia. And he leads him to Troas. And when he's in Troas, he's asleep. And the Lord sends the Holy Spirit to give him a vision. He sees that man standing there that from Macedonia. And that man says to Paul, come over and help us. And in obedience, there goes Paul, Silas, and Timothy, and Luke. And they set sail to Macedonia. And from Macedonia, they traveled to Philippi. Now, do you think Paul was a little bit thankful, I was thinking, that grace caused him to respond that way? Do you think maybe he thought of Jonah? He said, thank you, Lord, that I didn't rebel and end up in the belly of a fish. What do you think? He got to Nineveh. Do you remember the word Nineveh? The place of abiding. So praise the Lord. He went from yielding to abiding to to yielding, to abiding all along the way. He's in a good place because he's in the place where the Lord wanted him. And it was a place where he faced much persecution, didn't he? Place that time and time again, he's going to be cast out of. He's going to be imprisoned. He's going to be beaten. A lot of different things. But he knew that he was in the place where God wanted him. Hallelujah. And there might not have been too many that wanted to receive some of those things. But even if it was just one, and now we're going to come to just one here. And boy, was she a sweet sister. But that place of abiding is a wonderful place. Now let's keep it up. Verse 13 of chapter 16. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city. Now they're in Philippi by a riverside. That's always a good place to go. You want to go down by the river. Amen. The word of God, the Spirit, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman, see, a certain woman, here she comes, named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. See, she's from the city of affliction. Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about Thyatira in a minute. And it is afflicted. Which worshipped God, and she heard us. Whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, this Thyatira where she was from, it is an afflicted place. Revelation chapter 2 goes on to tell us about Thyatira. It's an evil place. It's a place where there's much seduction with religions. It's pretty much gone to the place of good God, good devil, good everybody, hasn't it? That's an evil place. It may sound like a place that's political correct. It might sound like a place where everybody's getting along. But it's a place where after too long, everybody's headed for hell because they've left the name of Jesus. And brothers and sisters, we're in that realm anymore. This world is coming to that at an increasing rate. But even though she was in this place that was so afflicted, there was a life that had an ear by the grace of God, an ear to hear what the Spirit says, overcome, overcome. And praise God, she came out from among them. And it tells us very clearly in this scripture how we come out from among it every single time. If coming out is ever going to happen, the Lord must draw us. It's not of my desire. We have to understand it's the Lord. It's the grace of God. Look what happens here. He opened her heart. The heart of the Lord opened. Praise God, her heart. And it's wonderful how this transformation happened in her life. And then she yielded to that. She wanted to hear that. And she yielded specifically to the things that were spoken of Paul. She yielded to Paul's gospel. And how perfectly clear and wonderfully clear this is. That the Lord will judge the secrets of men according to my gospel. And he will. We best know this and cherish this, brothers and sisters, that yes, she worshiped God. It says that she worshiped God here in the 14th verse. And that's a wonderful thing. It's wonderful to worship God. But then there's a better, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God saw that and saw fit to open her heart and to know his desires. And all the desires of God's heart, brothers and sisters, are found in Paul's gospel. Do you know that? You want to know the desires of God's heart? You need to know Paul's gospel. Praise the Lord. Now again, he's just a chosen vessel unto the Lord. We know that. But praise be to God. This is where it's at. This is where God has chosen to take the chief of sinners and to make him the chosen vessel unto me to bring forth the mystery of the gospel of Christ. He does it like that every time, doesn't he? He takes the misfits. He takes the despised. He takes the ones that are really scary. Paul was scary. He was scary to everybody. He was out there killing all those Christians. He's a scary man, Lord. I could imagine that brother is saying that in a lot of different things he was saying, but the Lord said that the brother did submit to it and took him into his house, didn't he? Praise his name. But I'm sure he thought, oh my goodness, this could be a scary man. But that's how the Lord does it. He takes the despised, and praise God, he sets them on a throne. Hallelujah. Know that for yourself, brothers and sisters. And here she was, this Lydia. She was the first one called out. The first of the ones of this first church in Europe. And from there, it was so sweet that she's even typed how they came out of the city to pray. Now, you have to think about this time, too, as well, is that they had to go out of the city. You know, there weren't a lot of people that loved the Lord at that time. There were a lot of people that were afraid to worship. They had to get away to come and to worship. The Romans didn't like it. The Jews didn't like it. Nobody liked anything about worshiping the Lord. That sound familiar? I think we're down by the river tonight, aren't we? What do you think? Praise God. And out of their bellies shall flow rivers of life. Praise be to God. He brings us there all the time, doesn't he? Now, Lydia herself is such a sweet type here. She is a seller of purple. Now, purple was a very expensive dye in those days. And ones that would sell purple were very wealthy. They had means. They were good business people because they had a market cornered that was very difficult to get. She was a distributor. All right? Isn't that something? And notice, she was the seller of purple. All right, ladies? Okay, listen. And only purple was only placed upon things of great value. And I'll tell you, some purple is going to be placed on something of great value someday. Ruling and reigning in the jointly in his throne. But this was a businesswoman. And she was increased in goods. That most likely we know this. And she had this house. And this house she invited them to. And when they were departing, she brought all of them back into her house. So I'm sure she had a good size house. But it was this woman, brothers and sisters, it was this woman that was the first one to go after this message in Philippi. I just think it's so amazing. You know, I've heard people rebel in a lot of different ways. And ladies, I'm not getting after you. I'm thankful you're here because I believe that you've received the grace of God and understand the truth. But I've heard people say, oh, you know, that Christianity stuff, you know, it's kind of against women. I think, what are you talking about? Now, in the Old Testament, there were some sweet sisters and did some sweet things. But mainly, it focused on the brothers. But I'll tell you what, once we got to the New Testament, sisters, you got to step up. I'm telling you, you really did. You think about that from the very beginning. Elizabeth and Mary, the great grace, the faith that God put in their life. All them disciples, they were disgrace. They were always fearful, weren't they? Look at Peter, what a mess. All of that stuff. Who were the ones that ran to the tomb? I mean, I know that those disciples did, but she abided there. She wasn't afraid. At the cross, you think about that. There were no brothers to be found, but at least the ladies, they stood far off to watch. Amen? Come on. Now, and then Priscilla, what a sweetheart, and Mary of Bethany taking that place and praise God at the feet of Jesus, not worrying about these things, taking all that fuss and honoriness from everybody else, so you lazy, blah, blah, all this kind of stuff. And she said, nothing. She let the Lord speak for her. What are you doing today? You going to let the Lord speak for you? See, I'm not here to defend myself. I've already got the defender. And he loves me. And he protects me. He goes before me. He's behind me. His blood covers me. And praise God, I'm the apple of his eye. And he tells me that every moment of the day. Honey, I love you. And he tells you the same thing. The only question is, are we listening? Are we listening to that? He loves us. He absolutely adores us. Listen to the word of God. But then, it's so wonderful because this Lydia here. And I think about King David in Psalm 34:2. He saw a little vision of this. Brothers, listen. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. You think he was foreshadowing something there? Do you think these sweet sisters in the Word of God, especially in this New Testament, that had such boldness, while the brothers were flailing? Come on. My soul shall make her boast. It best be a bridal heart, because that's the only one that's going to marry him, that's going to win him. Praise be to God. All right? Okay. So, a woman of wealth, a woman of means. But yet, isn't it sweet that she wasn't interested and consumed in a living? That she had a great living, but she desired a life. And we're going to close this, because this is just the introduction tonight. But I will close with these thoughts, brothers and sisters. She desired a life. In Philippians 1:19, it says, "For me to live is Christ." Is that the life you live? Are you living for Jesus Christ? That's not doing anything. It's being everything. He is everything. And he's just allowing me to be, praise God, in that wonderful love. Christ in me, living, praise God, through me. For me to live is Christ. And this is the life that truly rejoices. Living Christ in me. It's like a geyser, brothers and sisters. It can't help but burst out in joy. And it's no wonder that the word rejoice, whether it's rejoicing or rejoice, is found 18 times in this sweet letter of Philippians here. And it's not ironic. It's just the way the Lord does it. This joy rejoicing book was written probably in the worst place it could ever be. Surroundings that we couldn't compare any of our sorrows or down settings to in any way, shape, or form. This was in a pit. This was in a hole. This was in a place where many would wish they could die because it was so horrible. But more importantly, besides just the conditions of the jail that Paul was in, this prison, was the condition of believers at that time. It was quickly accelerating to the time where Paul would say, "All in Asia have gone away. There's nobody left." Even Timothy would come to a place where he was fearful that Paul would have to encourage him in a letter. "Son, stir up the gift that is in thee by the laying on of my hands." God forbid we get to such a time. But if we're in that time right now, listen to the word of God. Stir up the gift. Let the grace of God apprehend you. Apprehend the grace of God, brothers and sisters, and there will be rejoicing. There will be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Rejoicing is a state of Christ in me. And then we'll go on to discover, brothers and sisters, that the real joy in Philippians, as it brings out, is knowing him. In chapter 3, verse 10, how exciting. It says that I may know him. And not through singing for 2 hours. Not through holding hands and, you know, having coffee. But I'm going to know him in the power of his resurrection. That's when you know you're dead and he lives. Man, if you really accept that, I'm crucified with Christ. Now the power of resurrection is living in me. I'm dead. It's his life. And yet I think what I'm doing is so important. Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in you. And then the fellowship of his sufferings. Being made conformable unto his death. Oh my goodness. See, this is knowing him as we'll read this precious word if he tarry. Knowing him in one spirit and one mind and in one faith of the gospel and yes, with one another. It's important, brothers and sisters. God is bringing this together. And the church of Philadelphia, closely related here, is the church of brotherly love. It loves the head as the body and the body as the head because it loves Christ in you. And Christ in you loves Christ in me. Praise be to God. That's what it's about. I would pray we all have fervent passion one for another. That truly you would win his best as much as I want myself by God's grace to win his best. And I'm telling you that there is no difference. There is no difference. I want us in Christ to apprehend his best. Till we all come, what do you think? When God let me take that step into that, by his grace, it became a beauty that I had never beheld. I'm telling you. Beyond, beyond, beyond. Singing that song, Beyond the Blue. But then in that knowledge, brothers and sisters, the offering to win him is made clear. Look it over there in chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I mentioned this earlier, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. See, Paul didn't worry about his position. He didn't worry about what people thought of him. He didn't. It was all about the excellency of the knowledge, the intimate knowledge, the knowledge of my husband between a man and wife. Come on. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Oh, what a statement. But I count all that. But dung. I love it. Think how people like to come around and beat their chest. Well, I did this for the Lord. And I gave up that for the Lord. God help you. God help me. That I may win. Now this brother at this time, he really knew the Lord, didn't he? He walked with him quite a ways. God had given him such sweet truth. But he was still pressing on toward a mark for the prize. Wasn't finished yet. So what was he going after? Had a man in my office the other day just till he was blue in the face. All God's children are in the bride. How foolish. How absolutely foolish. What was Paul saying? If by any means I might attain, I press, I'm delirious for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, just listen to it. Listen to the beauty of what the Lord's saying. And only he could open a heart to put that desire in it. But it's a heart that will be quickened to say, Lord, I believe. That's all he wants. Lord, I believe. And then the key maybe to it all. Don't you just love Philippians? 4:19. But my God. See, we had some but gods throughout the Word of God here. But my God. Now, you're talking about a personal supplier now. See, he's taking you from Romans to but God. And I love but God in Romans. Don't get me wrong. I love but God all over the place. But there's something about my God. Oh, there's something about my God. There's something about your God. You know what I'm saying? That one that speaks to you like none other. That takes you aside. Looks into your eyes.
and just tells you, I'm helplessly and hopelessly in love with you. Will you come away? Will you rise up? That's the one I'm talking about. My God shall supply. That's an abundant, infinite, oversupplying. You could never exhaust it. All your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So everything we'll ever need. Isn't that wonderful? Everything I ever could imagine to be, to do, to speak, to act, He's the supplier. And anything else is so hopelessly and helplessly short, it cannot compare. It cannot even remotely get there. We are His inheritance. Think about that. We've rejoiced in Ephesians that we realize we are God's inheritance. We are His everything. He gave everything for us to be His everything. His riches in the glory. We're that to Him. We are His riches in glory. And so key to that, in glory. I want to live in glory. I want the life of in glory. And that life, brothers and sisters, is what Philippians is going to tell us. Complete dependence. Complete confidence upon His supplying of grace upon grace upon grace upon grace to build His ultimate glory. And His ultimate glory will be His wife. We'll end with chapter 2, verse 5. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I've heard often about the champions of husbands and wives. Ones that people look at and say, oh, man, I wish I had really what they had in a good way. Their love is of one mind. They move together. They're in sync, harmony, grace. And they even say after a while, you know what? They even start to look alike. Do you look like Jesus? I hope I do. I hope it's Christ in me. I hope that there's a transparency that will be cherished by Him and Him alone. But it's going to be His thoughts and His desires that are going to do it, isn't it? The beauty in surrendering and submitting to Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. And you know what? That just so happens to be the life that lives in you. I believe everyone here tonight is a child of God. And so beautifully, when you gave your heart to Him, He said, I've blessed you. I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I can't contain looking about a privileged people that are responding to the glorious Word of God. So we read here, brothers and sisters, that it is all ours. We have it. But the question that really Philippians will give us is, will we apprehend it? Will we? Will we love it? Will we rejoice in it? And finish. Be finished. In joy. In the midst of the throne. What do you think? the joy book of the Bible. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you and praise you. We give you all the glory. Because there's no glory but of God. Thank you again for your wonderful Son. Thank you that you have given him so freely to us. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, that increase, that better that was given to us, for you to take everything, all things of Christ, and make them ours. God, help us to arise. Help us to heed to the calling of the bridegroom. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.